Here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 24th. Thousands of women and men peacefully participated in last weekend's Women's March on Denver. Benta Berkland was with the crowd at Denver's Civic Center Park on Saturday and filed this report.
Similar marches were also held around the world, the country, and in the nation's capital. Amongst a sea of many pink-knitted hats, the crowd in Denver waved signs reading, "Let's make America smart again. We shall overcome. Build bridges, not walls. And we need a leader, not a tweeter." There were also periodic chants of, "Not my president," and,
"United will never be divided. The people united will never be divided.
The overall mood was mostly subdued and upbeat. It was a much different feel than some of the militant-type protests during Friday's inauguration of President Donald Trump. No one was wearing black. People seemed happy.
This is definitely a march about love and unity as opposed to division and hatred.
Catherine Parsons lives in Vail. She came to the rally with her daughter and son-in-law, who were visiting from Alaska. She held up a sign that said, "Women's rights are human rights, and love is the answer."
That's the only thing that's going to save the whole world, is love and unity, because it's too big. There are too many of us to be divided.
The number of people packed into Civic Center Park was heartening for Aurora social worker Nikki Nanton. She says it made her feel like in the next 4 years, progress can be made for everyone.
My hope is that, yes, we can get beyond this huge division that's been created under this regime that we've stepped into. But it seems that this general lack of empathy for each other is what got us here, and I don't know how to fix that.
As for right now, Nanton says it's going to take a long time for Donald Trump's presidency to sink in.
I don't know how to feel. I'm still in shock.
Women made up about 80% of Saturday's crowd, and most were white. Trump won that voting demographic by about 53% last November. And that's one reason 72-year-old Kay Long from Golden wants to be more politically active.
This is my first march ever. So this is the first time I've done anything like this. I'm going to work very hard to help get more Democrats elected at local levels and in the congressional races in 18.
It was also the first march for a group of high school students from the Denver School of the Arts. Even though she and most of her classmates were too young to vote, sophomore Anna Claire Schultz says her friends continue to be very engaged politically.
Most of our school is pretty unified in the idea that he's not fit to be president, and that what he's doing and what he's saying is in no way making America great.
Fellow student Emery Volker was nodding in agreement, but also cautioned against the use of strong rhetoric over the next 4 years.
We just have to remember that everyone is entitled to their opinion, and that dividing our country more is only going to make it worse. So we have to keep it peaceful, but obviously we're not going to stop fighting for what we believe in.
But Andrew Griffin of Denver thinks some anger is good. The young voter held up a sign that said, "Not my prez," covered with orange Cheetos. Activists have used the cheesy snack as a metaphor for Trump. His worry is that as time goes on, people will become complacent.
I want to show that, you know, there's another side that's pretty upset with the rhetoric out there. And he may be our president, but, like, we're going to stand up. And anytime there's a civil right or something that's being violated, we have to be out there. When you become desensitized, that's when the human rights violations happen.
It's not clear whether progressives can continue to mobilize this energy over the next 4 years. While Colorado was a blue state, Trump still won a lot of votes here. And as we saw during the last election, demographic groups such as women don't vote as one block. I'm Benta Berkland.
A new survey indicates that schools remain hostile environments for LGBTQ students. Eric Galatis has this report.
Schools that take steps to reduce bullying and provide other supports for their LGBTQ students are seeing better education outcomes, but the nation's middle and high schools can still be described as hostile environments, according to a new Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network survey. David Danishevsky with the network says even homophobic comments can have profound effects.
When students are experiencing these hostile environments, they're actually missing school more often. They tend to have lower GPAs. They report lower self-esteem, higher rates of depression, and they don't really have a strong sense of school belonging.
The survey found 85% of LGBTQ students were harassed verbally, nearly two-thirds experienced discrimination, and more than 1 in 10 was physically assaulted. Schools with comprehensive anti-bullying policies and sanctioned gay straight alliances saw lower levels of victimization. Mary McDonough with the GLBT Community Center of Colorado says beyond punitive anti-bullying programs, a cultural shift is needed to challenge perspectives that label some students as outsiders.
And I also think it takes curriculum. It takes LGBTQ students being able to see themselves in lessons, in history, and in social studies. You know, they have a history, they have people who are like them that have made positive impacts.
The survey found only 1 in 5 schools taught classes featuring positive representations of LGBT topics. More than half of respondents say they've heard homophobic remarks from school staff members, and the frequency of staff intervention in incidents decreased from the group's previous survey in 2013. Danishevsky says school administrators need to be held accountable and ensure that teachers and other staff know how to handle bullying and harassment when it happens.
We really recommend that there's an increase in professional development for teachers and other school administrative staff to really understand the issues at hand and, you know, the unique challenges that LGBTQ students might be facing.
He says although many students still experience harassment and discrimination, the survey shows that when schools take steps to support these students, climates can be transformed so that all students can thrive. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, the Paonia Town Council has named a new full-time town administrator. The Paonia trustees began a search for the new administrator after former town manager Jane Berry resigned in late July of last year. A list of 36 applicants was whittled down to 5 finalists. 3 of those candidates dropped out and left the trustees with 2 to choose from. Following an executive session during the January 10th meeting of the board, the trustees voted unanimously to offer Kenneth Knight the job, and he accepted. Knight was most recently the town administrator in Marlin, Texas. He grew up in Maine and served in the United States Air Force. Knight has 22 years of experience in local government, including 18 of those years as an administrator. Since 2014, the town of Paonia has gone through 4 administrators. Interim town manager Steve Robbie gave way to Barry, who was followed by interim town manager Dan Dean. Knight is expected to be on the job beginning February 1st. The Paonia Town Council will hold its regular meeting tonight at 7 p.m. at Paonia Town Hall. On the agenda are an update from the Airport Advisory Committee, an ordinance regarding the fence amendment, a resolution setting a fence permit fee, a resolution about the county's rural jumpstart program, and further discussion of space to create. An executive session will be held at the end of the meeting regarding an out-of-town waterline easement, marking the 20th executive session the council has held since May 10th of last year. And that was your regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.